You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up next, we have a piece about the environment. OMV is an Austrian oil company that's currently looking for oil and gas off the coast of Aotearoa. This is following the recent exits of Shell, Chevron and Equinor, also known as Statoil, as well as the whole Anadarko debacle of years gone by. OMV is the last remaining international oil company within our waters. It also happens to be one of the 100 companies responsible for over 70% of the world's climate pollution since 1988. Recently, they endeavoured into the waters off of the coast of Taranaki to search for liquid gold, oil. And their endeavour wasn't as successful as they may have hoped, with their recent well not turning up with the good that they were searching for. I talked to CJT, which is Climate Justice Taranaki's Urs Singer, around OMV's endeavours into the harbours of Taranaki and about oil exploration in Aotearoa in general. I started by asking to introduce himself, Climate Justice Taranaki, and OMV, and their place in New Zealand.
We're a small group that's been going for about a decade here in Taranaki, trying to create change on the front lines of climate change. So we've been active against the oil and gas drilling that's been taking place in Taranaki for quite some time, but also, you know, trying to create change around industrial dairying here. Trying to do some positive stuff while we're at it, organising in the community. And yeah, so that's the kind of stuff that we get up to as a group. One of the big companies drilling in Taranaki is OMV, and that's the company that we're dealing with at the moment. It's an Austrian outfit. It's actually a state-owned enterprise from Austria, as far as I know. They've been in Taranaki for a number of years, and we've been opposing them for a number of years. Yeah, that's sort of where we're at the moment.
Recently, I believe it was announced that one of OMV's oil exploration endeavours turned out with results that perhaps they weren't looking for, which may be good news for Climate Justice Taranaki.
Indeed, yeah. So OMV took over from Shell a few years ago. Shell was sort of the key player in the oil and gas scene here in Taranaki. So when we're talking oil and gas exploration here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, drilling really started in sort of the mid-1860s, so we're talking, you know, a couple of centuries ago, really, when oil was first found in Taranaki. And then small drilling was taking place, mostly down in the port of New Plymouth. There was a couple of wells there. But then sort of the big players started coming in, probably in the middle of the 20th century, and one of the key companies that has been here was here for quite some time is Shell, obviously a huge company that we all know from the petrol stations, but it's a company that's been drilling across the world, causing massive damage where they go, and obviously oil and gas drilling is a key component to the climate crisis that we're facing at the moment. So Shell sold all their assets maybe a couple of years ago to OMV, and when they left, they actually said, we're going to go into renewables, which is interesting, you know, for a company that's been drilling for oil and gas for decades, you know, causing major damage. So now we're dealing with OMV, who bought Shell's assets. So they bought all their platforms, all their rigs, all their equipment, and inherited, I suppose, that legacy. So OMV wants to keep drilling, unfortunately. They haven't quite realized that we're in the middle of a climate crisis. So the last thing we should be doing is drilling for more oil and gas. So they keep going, unfortunately. So even though the science is clear that we shouldn't be drilling for more fossil fuels, they keep going. So they've got this summer a big rig in New Zealand that's been drilling here in Taranaki. And yes, you're right, they failed to find any oil or gas in this latest drill. So they they were drilling maybe 140 k's off the New Plymouth coast, so you couldn't see the rig from the coast, but we know it's there. It was there for several weeks, and yeah, the well was dry, so there wasn't enough there for them to go back to it, is basically what they're saying. So even though they've done the 2D and 3D seismic surveys, they were confident there was something there, you know, that was commercially viable. It turns out there probably isn't, which is indeed good news for us. It's good news for the oceans. It's good news for future generations in terms of having a somewhat stable climate. But they are at the moment off the Otago coast in the deep south, drilling there as we speak. So it's not that, it's not as if they've left. They've just had bad luck this time around. But they're mobilising, you know, millions of dollars to keep us addicted to the 3D industry. And really what we're saying is that it's time for a complete change. Systematic change is what's needed to stop this madness.
Most certainly, I guess their presence here is not only a negative one in terms of they've had three oil spills since they picked up licenses here, but as you said, it kind of furthers our, well, kind of maintains our relationship with oil and gas. Drilling was, or oil exploration was supposedly banned in 2018. However, OMV continue as they had a permit before this date. What does this say about the New Zealand government's relationship with oil and oil exploration moving into the future?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the ban was somewhat misunderstood in 2018, the supposed ban. Like, you know, we're not saying it's a bad thing what the government did, but I think it was still, by and large, misunderstood as to what they were actually doing, you know, and I suppose what we're saying is that it didn't go far enough. You know, if Jacinda Ardern and her government were serious about climate change, you know, she said climate change is the issue for our generation, then how can you possibly still allow future or further exploration and production going ahead? You know, so what she did is she said there's no new permits offshore, but and no new onshore permits outside of Taranaki. But in Taranaki, onshore permits are still available. New permits are still available onshore. And offshore existing permits will continue to run. And some of those permits run for decades, you know, for 30, 35 years. So really what we have, you know, this transition that the government's talking about is, in our view, just taking way too long. Like, you know, we need to immediately turn this ship around. You know, we don't need any drilling now is having, you know, really bad impacts down the line in terms of the emissions. And we all know we need to immediately stop, you know, stop these emissions.
What kind of changes would you like to see to kind of further shore up a safer future for Aotearoa away from oil exploration?
Well, what we've been calling for a while is a just transition for our communities. And it's nice that the government and even the industry is picking up on that idea, on that concept, because we all know that, you know, it's our relations, it's our mates, our friends, our neighbours who are working in the industry here in Taranaki. That's the reality of our society, that a lot of people depend on that dirty industry. So we do need a just transition away. So we need, you know, massive investment in renewable energy, for example, and at the same time, you know, making our systems more efficient and discuss, you know, building stronger communities where we are more connected to each other, less reliant on energy, I suppose, you know, a society that doesn't use as much energy in the first place. And I suppose at the end of the day, it's a distribution of energy or a distribution of wealth that sits at the centre of this issue. You know, we live in an economic system, a capitalist system that is based on very few people having a lot and a lot of people having almost nothing, both in terms of energy and in terms of wealth as well. So really what we're saying is we need fundamental systematic change, both economically, politically, socially, you know, to achieve a sustainable way of living within our means, for, you know, back to a community life that is vibrant, a life that is not based on individual success but collective success, with values like, you know, collective living or values like kaitiakitanga are really the core values that drive what we do as a society.
The relationship between the New Zealand government and OMV is kind of an interesting one, as you said. Not only is it an international kind of corporation, but it has some ties to the, if I'm not mistaken, the Austrian administration and government as well. Going forward, how do we navigate the intersections between governments and these big corporations in terms of how countries' economies are built on the backs of kind of semi-corporate endeavors that kind of are exploiting our natural resources?
To start off with, it's still contested ground whether the Crown, whether the government actually owns oil and gas in New Zealand. You know, there's a valid claim by Māori, by iwi, by tangata whenua to these resources. You know, if you look at the treaty, and then it's pretty clear that all taonga remain under iwi ownership. So there's still a claim to be made, I believe, by Māori to these taonga, to these resources. And secondly, you're right, in terms of these big international corporations that come here, these global players, OMV being the current one, but we've had others in the past. I mentioned Shell. We've had Petrobras off the East Coast drilling there. So there's been numerous companies that came and left. Anadarko is another one that was here for a while. So we're really giving these corporations, you know, huge access to resources here to exploit with very little, I believe, very little coming back to the community. You know, they may sponsor the swimming pool or the local rugby team, but ultimately they're in it for profit. And the interesting thing is, once the business model fails, then it's you and me, us taxpayers, who sort out the mess. And we've seen that recently with a Malaysian company called Tamarind that's been drilling in Taranaki. They specialise in taking over oil fields in the last few years of productivity. So that's their business model. Their business model is coming in at the very end, trying to suck up a few more litres of oil and then get out. And they went bust. They went bust a few months ago here in Taranaki, and they owe hundreds of millions of dollars to both the Crown and to local businesses here in Taranaki, and they've gone bankrupt. Meanwhile, their parent company in Malaysia is all good, you know, because that's the business model. It's based on going bankrupt in their drilling adventures. So it's who pays for the decommissioning? You know, once an operation is done, who pays for cleaning up the mess? The fact that they leave all their mess behind on the seafloor, for example. Shell has got out now. They've left and passed on their legacy to the next company. And they'll drill as long as they make money. You know, that's the model. And I suppose what we're saying is the model is wrong, right? So this for-profit taking, pillaging of resources is ultimately wrong, and is ultimately the driver of our climate crisis.
Often the individual is encouraged to make changes. However, the Carbon Majors report, a report that I'm sure many listeners are aware of, came out a couple of years ago and now suggests or states that just 100 companies have been the source of more than 70% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions since 1988. OMV is one of them. Surely this kind of highlights the error or issue with the profit-based model in terms of especially relation to nature and the climate crisis. What steps do you see that the New Zealand government or the coalition government can possibly take, not necessarily distance themselves from these companies, but work out a sensible relationship economically without overcommitting to a naturally exploitative industry?
You're not wrong, Ham, in terms of individual change. Yes, it's good to make individual changes. You know, we can make a few lifestyle changes that, you know, probably benefit the environment and benefit the climate. But what we need is really systematic change. And systematic change comes about when people get together as communities, as hapū, or people come together in their workplaces to organise collectively for a better future. And that's really what we need. That's when we can see massive changes. And, you know, we see them all the time. You know, people coming together, organizing for change is not a new concept at all. It's how change always happens. It's people coming together, organizing and challenging the status quo, challenging those in power, challenging those in authority, and getting and gaining in that way. That's how we win. So that's really what we need to keep doing, is to challenge the crown, challenge the government on its record. So, for example, the Zero Carbon Act is one example where those of us in the environmental movement just say it simply doesn't go far enough. You know, it simply doesn't go far enough what they're proposing at the moment. And we need to keep challenging. It doesn't matter what party is in power at the moment. Our role as activists is to expand that debate and to challenge those in power and hold them to account. So that's really where I see our role, where I see the role of young people particularly. You know, those listening out there on the radio to this cool radio station, those of you who've marched in the streets, we need to keep going and collectively organise for a better future. For example, down in Otago, our mates down there are organising a flotilla to go challenge the drilling off their coast. So we support them fully in sailing out to the big drilling ship, and it's that kind of action that will see change. Us taking non-violent direct action together.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.